How are you this evening? I'm fine. I lied. I understand that there are several people in the unit that didn't blow today. However, you're not up to 50% yet. Not up to 50%. There's still 50% of the people present who have not walked out and said they would never come back. And I am asking your instructors to stiffen it up now. Let's stiffen it up. Let's show a certain laxness that is not to be tolerated. This situation obviously indicates that a certain amount of patty cake is going on with the instructors. By the way, let me introduce your instructors again. Here's Mitty. And Mary Sue Hubbard. And Dr. Ken Bath. And Dr. Dick Halpern. And Dr. Jan Halpern. Now you see why they haven't stiffened up?
Yeah.
It's their fault. But I will think up a lot of nasty things that I heard you say about the behind their backs. So we can't let this much ARC go on uninterrupted here in Washington. It's such a strange thing to have here in Washington, ARC, that it's liable to ruin everything.
All right, this is the sixth lecture of the 18th ACC, the date?
22nd
of July, 1957. The subject of this lecture is control. As I have said already, control is a dirty word. Freud stuff has no word in it as nasty as control. But let me invite you, if you're going into the subject of control with somebody, to follow this sort of a routine. Now, you see, we use a control-type auditing in processing in Scientology, and before they wince or leap sideways, you can say, have you ever been controlled by anybody? Fraud at the mouth, lie down, scrape them off the sidewalk, stand them up again, and say, well, now how would you like that area of your life decontrolled? So that you can re-control it. And we have two new words, decontrol and re-control, and both of them are done by control. And that's the truth. An individual who has been made to resist control winds up allergic to control. And if he is allergic to it, he's dead. Because there isn't anything you can do with anything except, in some fashion or another, view it or control it. If there's anything else that you can do besides, well, I should say sense it. View it, sense it. Or control it. It would be controlled by it. And any old Scientologist knows this thing about the one-way flow. If a flow flows too long in one direction, it has a tendency to dam up and fix. And it's only necessary to reverse that to unfix the situation, don't you see? So we go back into Scientology, I think, 880 on two-way flows. And we understand this control situation at once. It is a very simple thing to knock somebody out by the use of one of these two-way flow things. You get a person getting the idea of flowing something out away from him for a while, and he flows this out away from him for a while, and all of a sudden he goes wog. Now, it is only necessary for him to make that something flow the other way toward him for a little while, just a mental idea of flowing, you know, and float toward him for a little while, for him immediately to wake up. If you have somebody who's putting up mock-ups out in front of him, and he starts to go unconscious, you only need have him put them in back of him, and his unconsciousness disappears, which is quite remarkable. Well, a thetan who is totally devoted to controlling things and who is not himself in any way to be controlled runs into the same phenomena. The phenomena gets in his road very, very much. Well, if this is the case, then you can see at once why control of a preclear is necessary. If he has fought the control going out, it is only because it has gone out too long. Don't tell me that a thetan can actually be upset by a miscontrol or bad 8C. I think that is just an objection. I think he could take it rather easily, providing he himself didn't have a stuck flow on it. If he himself had not done so much controlling of mental image pictures, which is to say the mind, the body, objects in the environment, if he had not done so much of this, then there would be no stuck outward flow. So somebody comes along and controls him well, and he objects. Much less bad 8C. But of course, bad control, that is, bad placement and bad handling and so on, naturally gets ferociously on his nerves if he already has a stuck outflow. You see that? He would not pay any attention at all to it if there wasn't a well-worn route. And it starts to come back, and it starts to knock him out, and he doesn't like it, so he fights, and a flow which flows, there's a little interesting thing here, a flow which flows a certain time in one direction tends to continue to flow until it is totally jammed or stopped. Now, it's just the phenomenon of flow all by itself, a flow flowing long enough in one direction in the mind eventually flows harder and harder, not easier and easier. Why? This is only true when energy is being employed. And the more an individual outflows energy, the more vacuum he creates on his side of the flow. And he's creating a nice little vacuum there, and the more he flows out, the more hole he leaves in the Swiss cheese called the bank. And eventually, something is trying to pull that back in. He's got a missingness, don't you see, now in the energy masses immediately surrounding him, and it itself tries to fill itself up by pulling back on the same line. And it's like taking a rubber band and just stretching it further and further and further. Well, now, the analogy is not too good, because what happens eventually is it just sticks. His effort to hold it out there is so great that he can only hold it motionlessly out there. And he's got it stuck. All of a sudden, somebody comes along and they threaten to joggle it a little bit. And that hole where he is tends to fill up too rapidly. He says no, and he sticks it out there harder, and somebody joggles it. And it again tends to snap in. He says no, and he puts it out there. I'm afraid the solution lies in these two data. One, you can't hurt a thetan. And two, The worst that would happen on the snapback is that the bank would disarrange in some fashion and leave him with not so many pretty pictures. But that flow is ordinarily undertaken by non-created energy. That is to say, he himself didn't create the energy. He collected it one way or the other, you see. He got the energy from other sources on a misownership and other things that he packed it around. Then he used that energy. You see, one eats and then he makes his vocal cords run. You get the idea? Well, he has just so much energy deposited around the voice. He gets his vocal cords running and he runs himself down. He eventually will have an actual vacuum right in the vicinity of his voice box. And if he talks too long, he talks exhaustedly. Got that? And then he's got a hole there, and it's a hungriness for energy. And all of this talk is out there on a strung-out ridge of one kind or another. Somebody goes snap at it. It snaps back on him. And every now and then, we get the actual phenomena. What I'm talking about would be entirely baffling to anybody who studied only in the field of mysticism, such as psychiatry and so forth, other mystic studies. I didn't mean to malign any mystics. My apologies. But there is an actual electrical phenomena, a whole series of phenomena, which occur in the field of thinkingness. And these things have been observed to have sufficient violence that a person holding the electrodes on an E-meter has had an explosion occur somewhere in the vicinity of his hands enough to knock a hole in his hands and the can. That's how bad that one's gotten. We all know of some of these. Now, here's another one. An individual every once in a while gets a tremendous explosion in front of his face or up on top of his head or something like this. And he says, "Good God, what was that?" Spooks, wizards, I'm being attacked, something's happening. No, nothing happened. He just got too much potential and he got a stuck flow out there, that's all. And one day somebody wiggled this potential and it went snap. And you got a complete electronic display. Anybody playing around with such things as electric shocks or anything like this is just being incredibly stupid because it's the wrong wavelength in the first place. That's a very gross wave action. But we look at this thing of this tremendous electrical phenomena which surrounds the being, and we find that mental image pictures are themselves built of energy. They are not some imaginary thing. I love the introduction and use of this word imaginary, as it means non-energy, non-real, non-existent, couldn't possibly be handled. It's an operation, the use of that word imaginary. Well, this fireplace, of course, is imaginary up here, and this microphone's imaginary, and the current coming out of that and running that tape recorder, they're all imaginary too, if that's the case. You just have to consider them all imaginary. Actually, same order thing. Every once in a while, we run into somebody who has had some one of these experiences of one kind or another. It was a hot day, and he sat down, and he was going to rest, and he did, and all of a sudden, boom, something blew up. He said, "Good heavens, I'm being attacked. Some mysterious thing is shooting at me." Well, the mysterious thing shooting at him was this. He was on a high level of activity, and he kept pushing out energy, and he created a vacuum, an energy vacuum. And he sat down all of a sudden and rested. See, and he made a no potential where he is. And he gets according electrical phenomena. You can produce practically the same phenomena with any electrical current or various electrical gimmicks, one kind or another, resistors, condensers and so forth. And the electronic engineer can produce this reaction very easily with a condenser. But his ideas of condensers are rather strange, too. He thinks you keep pumping electricity into a condenser until it fills up and eventually it discharges in some fashion or another. Well, we don't know whether it has capacity or not. That's just a handy word to use. But we do know that the electric eel, known as a thetan, does have some funny electrical phenomena which are not any different than the electrical phenomena of light. And this is not unusual because a thetan, after all, is part and parcel to this universe, and the stuff he sees around him and the currents and so forth were probably at one time or another generated by light. I want to cause you to think this over just a little more closely when you realize that the current running in that tape recorder at this moment is converted or generated by some life form at one time or another in the past. It's probably, by the way, running on coal. And coal is a bunch of life forms, one kind or another, and they got all condensed and so on. The cars and the streets are out there. They're running on what somebody would foolishly call life energy. It's not life energy. It'd be energy stored by, converted by, or generated by life forms. But it is processed in some fashion. That's the most that we could adventure with a total certainty. And because it's been processed, then it's burnable, and heat can be released, and you have heat converting into a mechanical action. You've got electrical current flowing up the line, tape recorder runs. Got that? Well, a person's need to be warm and all of that is quite amazing. I mean, that's one of the sillier things. Thetan does much better in absolute zero than he does in a hot room. But he gets accustomed to this, and he says, I need this, and he starts converting energy one way or the other. He does some interesting things with it. Well, the second he starts to handle energy, he gets all of the phenomena of electricity, of course. All the phenomena of electricity are there, or he wouldn't have any need of eating or anything of the sort. I mean, I could strain at the point very hard to prove this, and I don't know why I should, except for this one thing. It's almost totally overlooked. Well, now that this applies to the mind, then should come as a shock to nobody. That it wouldn't apply to the mind at all should be a tremendous piece of balderdash. I mean, that would be a real swindle to say, well, no real living being has anything to do with energy, you know. And thinking has nothing to do with energy, you know. That'd be nonsense. Well, if it has anything to do with energy, then there are certain energy laws it obeys, and the things I'm talking about are some of them. Now, every once in a while, when somebody is running tone 40 on an object with shouting, he keeps carving a hole in the bank. He carves a hole in the bank, and all of a sudden, he gets an explosion of some sort or another. He really feels caved in on. He gets all disarranged. He won't shout and can't shout elegantly because he's afraid that's going to happen. So, in training, we don't do processing. We just let him shout it out, and if it's going to happen, it's going to happen, and if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, and so what? We at least get him over the agony of suspense. Now, the voice, of course, is a natural for a stuck flow. Talks in one direction, one direction, one direction, one direction, one direction.
And after a while, a fellow can't talk very much and so on.
Now, you think it's because your voice gets rough or your throat constricts or some other odd explanation. The cells are mad at you in the larynx or something of the sort. But actually, all it is this electronic disturbance. Now, if you were real smart in handling electricity, and, get this, you thought you had to handle it in order to speak. That's necessary, too. All you could have to do is mock up a block of spare electricity out here in a motionless form, stick it in your voice box, and your hoarseness would cease. Now, you can do that on a cruder way by just mocking up hoarse voices. All you're doing, the significance is meaningless. Just stick hoarse voices, larynxes or something in there, and all of a sudden your sore-throatedness would be at end. Well, with the shouting, you carved a hole, and the stuck flow got out there, and it's probably already very beautifully stuck. You give it just one more clip, and it goes smash. See? All right. Now, other electrical phenomena contain engrams. There are many experiences, and each experience in life is represented by a mental image picture of one kind or another, which contains real energy, which has real potential, which is measurable in terms of current, and meters which measure current measures the potential in these facsimiles. And furthermore, they have mass. You can remedy somebody's havingness, have him mock up these things or shove these things in. You can increase a person's weight. And there are many experiences which in themselves, and this is what's confusing, contain electrical catastrophes. In other words, you not only can have mental image catastrophes just on handling the phenomena, getting explosions and things like that, but you can also do this one. You can have pictures of catastrophes, which, when run out, give you a repeat of the catastrophe. There's an old experience on the track known as blanketing. Most any GE bank has got a blanketing in it one way or the other. And sometimes a person has unwittingly been using the energy contained in this blanketing. And they exhaust the energy out of the blanketing little by little, little by little by little. And then they find they have to work harder, and they have to keep keyed up more and more, and they have to keep working harder and harder. And then all of a sudden they say, I can't do it anymore, and make some such postulate, sit down suddenly to rest. Boom! See what happens? You just get a recurrence of the same phenomenon of blanketing. It's something on the order of an electric shock. Psychiatry, I don't intend to say anything nasty about psychiatry for the rest of the course. But all they're doing is dramatizing this type of phenomena. They're not curing anything, they're just dramatizing. And they're dramatizing mainly a blanketing of one kind or another. The blanketing was just, all a being did was throw an electrical sheet of energy over another being, evidently. There was a nice resounding boom. Now, there's many ways to do this. You can produce all sorts of electrical phenomena which affect beings. All sorts. They haven't begun to dream of the number of ways by which a being could be influenced by electrical phenomena. One could say that's about the closest thing there is to infinity. The number of ways a being could be influenced by electrical phenomena. They are just numberless. And they all obey the same laws. Fascinating, isn't it? Now, of course, you could go back and wipe out all those considerations, make a bunch of new considerations, get another series of electrical phenomena on another track, but people haven't done that. And they are still operating on this electrical phenomena. All right. If they are so operating, and if these laws hold good, then you, in processing, can command the obedience of this phenomena. And one of the phenomena is the stuck flow of control. People usually control other things by energy. They control by energy, control by energy, control by energy. They don't control by postulate. They usually control by energy. And they control, control, control. And then one day, they control just a little bit more by energy, and they decide they can't control things anymore. Now, there is no other reason to it than electrical phenomena. There isn't, well, I failed too many times to control it, so I guess I cannot control it anymore. No. They just had to try too hard and had to outflow too much and had to work at it too hard, and they pushed in one direction too long and they got a stuck flow. And there it is, stuck. And if you could see a picture of this fellow's bank, it would have actually electrical phenomena showing these various stuck flow. All right. Practically all flows are aimed in the direction of control. And control is start, change, and stop. Starting things, changing things, and stopping things then become stuck flows. Now, you come along as an auditor. You start giving somebody some heavy control. Now, listen, somebody may have controlled his bank. Somebody may have unwittingly, tell him a bunch of horror stories or other things the way they amuse little kiddies. That's the best method of control, is get them to read something like Little Orphan Annie, other Eugene Fields masterpieces. Anyway, they have controlled his bank in some fashion. They've controlled his body. But wait a minute, nobody's ever controlled him. Not worth a nickel. That's why we're successful in Scientology. It's nobody has ever controlled the being. They have controlled the products of the being, but never the being. Got that? Thank you. I see you heap savvy that. Well, if this is the case, we are going to produce results, that's for sure. Because one of the things we do is back up this stuck flow of control. A Thetan has been going all this time in the universe, a being, controlling things, and very few things have ever controlled him. He has a tendency to snap in on himself those times when he has been controlled, bad or good. And hence you get these various phenomena, the service facsimile and so forth, find their basic residence in just that fact alone. The individual is on a total outflow of control, 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 so the closest things he gets to him are things that seek to remedy this backflow. All people sit around by the hour and tell you about tough first sergeants they heard of once, and, you know, they just hope. But these people never control the being himself. They merely control the bank in some fashion. This idea of train them until they develop an automatic response has practically saturated the universe. They don't ever train the guy. In the first place, they didn't even know who the fellow was. No, get some kind of an automaticity in the bank. The whole ideas of training are completely erroneous because they think if they get some kind of an automaticity going in the bank, then this fellow, like a wound-up doll, can thereafter drive cars and tanks and general armies and do other nonsensical things. You see that? The whole idea is just build it up so it's all automatic. In other words, make a bunch of response pictures and after that have him go off like a little wound-up doll, and it doesn't work. But everybody thinks it works. So that is the target, usually, of education. And that's why you're at odds with education. At large, education, just ponderous. Memorize it, memorize it. Don't ever bother to apply anything. Just memorize it, memorize it, memorize it, memorize. Don't do anything with it. Memorize it, memorize. Oh, it does, it has no useful application, Mr. Jones. This is calculus. Well, why are you studying differential equations? Because you need them to graduate. You see, if they could just install enough patterns in the fellow, he'd function after that. He'd be civilized. And you get all these misnomers. Well, they all come about from this thing of nobody has ever addressed the being. They didn't even know who he was. All right. Now you come along and you start to control him. With tone 40 auditing, see? They're going straight through. After a while, he says, I wonder if any of that is addressed to me. Could it be that some of that is addressed to me? In the first place, they're not asking me to store up any of this in the bank. They're quite the contrary. I'm supposed to do it every time. Me. Give me your hand. Does the fellow mean me? Because I don't see anything around here that will give him my hand. I don't see anything around here. Well, maybe if he does this often enough, he's going to install a machine, and after that, my hand will do this. And then it doesn't. Because by sheer duplication, you can utterly ruin any machinery. The one thing that mental machinery cannot do is exactly duplicate. Now, people don't believe that. They say the one thing that machinery does is duplicate. Oh, no, it doesn't duplicate. Each time, it's got to have a little curve on it. It's got to be just a little tiny bit different. Only a Thetan can duplicate. He's the only one that can stand the stress and strain of it. So duplication enters into this thing with this heavy control, and he finds out at last there's nothing can stand up to it but himself. So he must be the one who is being controlled. Thus he works it out, and you get a backflow of control. That's all there is to it. And then he finally decides, well, a backflow came in, and even though there was a small explosion, or nothing happened, I found out that I could stand it. I could take it, and nothing particular happened, and I wonder if there's any real consequence to this at all. And he finds out there's no great consequence to it, so he becomes willing to control something. That's more or less a crude explanation of how control works when used in auditing. All right, we examine this very carefully then, and we find out that control is senior to energy. Energy is the servant of control, not the end goal of control. It could be made so. But energy is energy. And if it was just floating around doing nothing, it would be chaos if there was no direction to it, providing one can conceive of energy without an observer of the energy, which is doubtful. All right. Now, if we take this idea of energy flows as the only method by which anything can be controlled, we've had it. There is the make-break point of a life or a lifetime. That's why electronics boys have a rough time. They're using too much and too long energy to control things, and they are seeking to control energy only, which they themselves cannot even see. All right. Here we have a strata above energy. There is such a thing as controlling by postulate, and there is such a thing as a mass without energy. There is such a thing as a mass without fields. There can be a mass with no energy, and it is not true that that wall is composed of little things that wiggle. It is not composed of space with an idea, or anything of the sort, an idea of little particles. It is simply itself. It is a mass. For heaven's sakes, let's get down to cases. Let's not try to say that mass has no mass, which is what physics finally got itself into. And it got itself into this so deep, it'll never dig itself out. Dead science right this minute. Because when it advanced into higher physics, it said that mass has no mass. Make mystics out of a lot of them. I imagine every school of mysticism of the past was founded on a bunch of disgruntled physicists who had made this postulate. Now, that's a reverse postulate. It's all right to say there's nothing there, there is something there, and behold it. See? But now there is something there, and we say nothing is there without banishing that. And we're in trouble because we're telling a lie. Now, let's get isness straight. This universe is real. It is. The universe is totally real. The floor is the floor. The ceiling is the ceiling. It is. And if you went around saying it was is, it would become less and less offensive to you. But if you go around on a second postulate, and while holding firmly in mind that it is, you say, it isn't. You not is it. You say, it isn't. It isn't. Well, take that wall. Tisn't. No, floors. Floors are very simple. They aren't. Now, the least silly of this is they are really composed of little wiggle wiggles. I don't know how this is, see, but they're little wiggle wiggles that go around the wiggle wiggles. They type sound fancy titles. There's nuclei and spooklei and electrons and molecules and they get all sorts of things. Undoubtedly, you can work out matter in these ways. You can say that it does fall apart and various electronic things occur, but this doesn't say it was made of it. Because it produces the phenomena does not mean that it is the phenomena. Now, get this as a truism. As a good thing to keep in mind. Because a thing makes something, it is not the thing. Because you can make energy, there's no reason you're energy. A And because that wall over there can make electrical fields when treated properly, is no reason that it's an electrical field. And so you can, of course, disintegrate a wall and get all sorts of phenomena and bananas and other things out of it, don't you see? You could get a wall to shed almost anything, including dog hair, if you were good enough at mock-ups. But that's what advanced physics is doing today. They're trying to get walls to shed dog hairs. Well, it's just about as nonsensical as that. Now, in other words, this wall over here is. And don't ever think it isn't. It is. If your body runs into that wall, it'll go thump. I guarantee that. Well, now, if your body goes into the wall and goes thump, then we have to admit two isnesses, the isness of your body and the isness of the wall. And some fellows with more feelings than others would admit a third, the thump. Now, here's this state of being. Then, a tremendous continuing postulate of isness, existence, stuck by the effort to take it away. It sticks on the effort to take it away, because one has called himself a liar. And about all you can ever do is deny yourself. In other words, we said it is. We all agreed that it is. Everybody agrees that he had some part in it. The walls, he sees the walls, he made the wall. They are. Various things can be done with these things. We're all set. It's all agreed upon. Now let's go around and say it isn't. Now that we've all agreed upon this 100%, it isn't. Boy, that's a wonderful way to make something just stick. And so you see the wall sticking. Now, a wonderful way to get into a trap is to say, well, that is a trap. Dive in head first and then say it's not a trap. Not a trap. Not a jail. I can walk out the doors anytime I want. Clank. Well, you say, well, look, I kind of mocked this up in the beginning. I don't know why I can't get out of the doors easily. Clank. No, you would have to say the jail is without protest, because the original postulate of the jail was made without protest. The protest came later. You see that? Now you can vary and alter and do all sorts of things, change, messed, electricity, anything you want, without too much liability. It does get harder and harder to conceive of exactly where and when it was made up and so make a perfect duplicate. But that's the only thing that happens to it. It's when you say that it isn't that you start to go blind. See, as a Satan. And then you say, well, that wall isn't. This is actually the total reason 8C and other processes are so good. You just make the fellow go around and say, it is, it is, it is, it is, it is, it is, it is. Everything brightens up and everything's liable to become solider and stronger and more massive 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 and less massive and less massive. Where's the wall? And then he says, well, I can adjust that myself. So he has a feeling that he could adjust solids rather than solids adjust him. Well, now that's the basic control of the universe. It is. One controls something by holding it in existence, doesn't he? That's a part of control, isn't it? Just by holding something in existence, he is controlling it. Well, supposing one is busily holding something in existence and then says, I am not holding it in existence anymore. While he is holding it, he tells everybody he isn't holding it. Oh, wow. All sorts of interesting things could occur from that point on, couldn't they? Well, we're not interested in how many things could occur because they are numberless. But we are interested in this factor of control. The universe, fixed in place, is actually not in a state of stop. It's in a state of change, isn't it? But one must be continuously starting it, and then it changes. So start the wall, if run, should produce some rather interesting phenomena, as I think some of you have learned. It's obviously stopped, isn't it? Well, this is just another little hooker on the material universe. We are starting it all the time and then changing it. All right, if we're starting it all the time and then changing it, and if we sit around and conceive that it has stopped, boy, is it solid. So you see all sorts of control mechanisms can be built into things, even this universe. But look, if you're holding it in position all that time, it must be, if you use energy to do it, a sort of stuck flow. So somebody comes along and controls you to some degree, reaches you, who are very busy at this, and what happens? Well, you've either got to blow up complete or find out that you can rise above energy. You have two choices there. And as a Thetan can't blow up complete, the only thing left to him to do is rise above energy. Do you see how that would be? Well, control then even enters into this thing called creation. Create and control are right next door to each other. If an individual cannot suffer control himself, his ability to create is rather doomed. He may be frantically creating. He may be trying like mad to create something, but it doesn't mean he's going to keep on very long. He's going to hit that stuck flow. Now, if he's creating with postulates and not with energy flows, he could go on forever. And so we will go into the number one trick of control used in this universe on a Thetan. You want to know what this number one trick is? It is to make the Thetan make a postulate that he himself can be damaged. That is, he has to make a postulate that he can be damaged. He has to think that himself. He can be damaged, he has to think. But a postulate all by itself wouldn't accomplish the job at all. And the modern method of wrapping this up as a complete trap is to make him conceive that he is energy, then damage the energy so as to make the Thetan conceive that he has been damaged. I'll go over that again. You have to make him conceive that he is energy and that the energy can be damaged, by which he then has it proven to him that he has been damaged. You see that? You can only damage a person thoroughly and enormously by making this identification between a spirit and energy and mass. Now, if you make a total identification there, you've got it. You've got it made. That's the number one trick. I'm not now talking about communism, psychology, or phrenology, or nonsense. I'm just talking to you fact. This, then, is a number one operation. It's to make a Thetan conceive that he is energy and nothing else, and has no other capabilities than energy, and then damage the energy with punishment of one kind or another, and this convinces him that he is damaged, and so therefore convinces him that he can't postulate, and he can't function, and he can't do this, and he can't do that, see? And we can't do's get formed out of this mechanical action. You have a Thetan conceive he's that chair, have him believe he's the chair utterly, that he's the same fabric as the chair, or is the chair itself. And then you go over and bust the chair in half and say, see, you're broken. And he said, yeah, I guess I am. See how that would be. So we can get all sorts of wild ideas from this association with energy. Therefore, any psychotherapy, practice of philosophy, or activity concerning the mind is doomed to failure and will not and cannot work if it is based on the premise that man is mass. You understand that? All you'd have to do is look this over and say, well, do they conceive man to be mass? Yes, they do. Well, it doesn't work. That's all there is to it. Just doesn't work. It's an operation then, isn't it? The only reason Scientology works is because it disabuses him of this fact. And that is the only reason it works. It's addressed to the being. And if we were going around fixing up bodies, thinking that man was a body, and neurons, automaticities, curved in with neurons, and that made a cross circuit of synapses, and all of it was a bunch of calves' brains which were jellied or something of the sort, and that ran an automaticity in the left leg, and that was why he stamped and what his reactions were, we would say at once, can't work. Can't work. Because it is using and confirming this identification. Now, if you go on confirming this identification, you wind up with a total unworkability. Because that is the basic misidentification necessary to damage a thetan or put him downscale. So, if one just continues to confirm that, going around telling everybody, you know, you're an animal and animals don't have souls and you're just a bunch of neurons and conditioned reflexes and you're just mass and you came from mud and one day there was a big sea of mud and somehow or other you spontaneously combusted and now you're frog's legs. You know, you just go around, yam, 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 please, please believe me, please believe me, please be slaves, please be slaves, please die, 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 because I can't confront anybody. Got the idea? Those are all synonyms. There speaks a man in terror who tells all other men that they are missed. Now, the thetan who is convinced he's that chair can provenly be damaged. But a thetan cannot be damaged. So all you'd have to do really is disassociate the idea that a thetan was energy. You got about 99% of his case right there. You could even go through a chant like this. You could make the run rising scale processing. Get the guy Svengalied somehow into actually thinking the thought you wanted him to think without any other preliminary. And just say, I am energy. I'm not energy. See? I am energy. I'm not energy. I change my mind. I'm not energy. I am energy. I am energy. That's for sure, you know. No, I'm not energy, you know. Getting him to get these two postures. Get him working until he got him shaken up real good. And he would go away a changed man. You didn't change any bank at all, don't you see? In other words, you just shake up. Don't even cure the idea, but just shake up this idea that he... And he put some divine question into his mind. You changed his case. That's very far from a lot of processing. Well, he's controlled so much energy that he himself thinks that he better obey the laws of energy and gets stuck in energy, and that's why he gets stuck on energy. He thinks he is energy. He's gone through this proposition of if I produce something, I am the thing. See, and if I have a lot to do with energy, then by association, which everybody knows is the clue to everything, you just associate until you disassociate, and then you go to university and study psychology. Yeah. This situation gets into a stuck flow. And the second you start to process him... Not an energy mass. You start to process him. He starts to disconnect from all his energy without really wrecking his having this. Because I don't think you could hurt a thetan's having this. It's just another idea he's got, don't you think? Having this works because it exercises his connection with energy. It makes him repostulate it, you know, until he just wears out a whole flock of postulates. And then he feels much better. He says, well, I can have anything. Well, that's interesting that he could have anything. You take some fellow who's being a bedpost, and if you could, say, get some things you could have. And he finally finds some things he could have, and first thing you know, he says, you know, I could have all this. You say, you bedpost? He say, no, what a silly idea. You see this? This is a direct ratio, then. Well, you'd have to convince a fellow he was energy before you could damage him. But, of course, with that goes the postulate that he could be damaged. Got that? Well, he very often sets up the postulate that he could be damaged so as to damage the other guy by example. Somebody said hell was paved with good intentions. It's not paved with good intentions. It's paved with setting an example. I know, I had one of the paving bricks one time and went over it microscopically. It was an example. You say, look what you have done to me, you brute. You have slaughtered me. The fellow says, what? A living being can be slaughtered? My, that's a new thought. And he goes off worrying about this. Let's see, he can be slaughtered. And you pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and you say, I guess I got that guy. And then one day you do it so often that you forget to get the guy, or you run into too many others that convinced you. And it's just a method of going into agreement. You set an example of being damaged. Then other people set you an example of being damaged. Then you agree with the first time you were damaged because you hung somebody with that and suppressed it. The next thing you know, we got a nice agreement that we can all be damaged. Hence, downscale on cases, difficulty of processing, all these things actually stem from these rather stratospheric postulates and activities, which may or may not be reachable directly by an auditor. They could certainly be attacked on a gradient scale, and that's where they're going. But if they could be reached just like that, well, you just have your one shot, one instant clear, you know, boom. Well, now this whole matter of I am energy, energy can be damaged, I can be damaged, is actually a necessary channel to create a good, solid slave society. Now, a fellow who is energy cannot get out of a skull, because energy can't get out of a skull. Try to pass a lead pencil sometimes through a piece of cardboard, and you'll see what I'm talking about. A person who can't get out of a skull must be, to some degree, conceiving himself to be the content of the skull. So he's trying to push his brains outside the skull or something of the sort when you tell him to exteriorize. And it's rather painful. It gives him headaches. Sits in there, you know, kicking brain out through the skull. His idea of exteriorization. But this individual who is doing this is actually in no great danger. He couldn't be in any danger. He couldn't be damaged. His abilities couldn't be lessened. We've already demonstrated that it's impossible to reduce an ability. But the only thing you can do is reduce its exercise or the willingness to exercise it. For instance, I know some processes, all you have to do is tell a preclear to look at the wall and mock up a mock-up, and over his dead body, and muchly to his surprise, he mocks up a three-dimensional, total brilliance, total mass mock-up, the size of the wall. He sits there looking at it, saying, yes, I did that. Yes, I did that. And sometimes it takes him a day or two to get the facility turned off. Worries him. He could do that? Well, he wasn't willing to do it. Now, some preclear that you run across is not willing to be any better than he is. He merely says so, but that's a circuit composed of his wife or somebody. And you make him better, and he gets worse, and you make him better, and he gets worse, and you make him better, and he gets worse. He's going through some kind of a cyclic action. But in no case were you processing the preclear where you had any real difficulty with the preclear. You were processing an energy mass one way or the other. And processing the energy mass, you're giving the commands through. The commands are echoed by an energy mass which moves around. And so then you process the energy mass some more and so on. You can just go back and forth with this game just almost endlessly. Until you process the person directly, you can process nothing. Well, a tremendous process, of course, was be 3 feet back of your head, but the fellow was so surprised, get that, because that is, although this Thetan can be damaged sort of thing and so on is all interesting, ways he can be damaged, you know, ways that the damage can then occur after he's associated himself with energy and so forth, he also has all plotted out in orders of seniority, and top amongst these is surprise. I can make anybody go out of control and actually make his body just start flip-flopping madly just by making him run on a process that isn't a process, which addresses surprise. I'll tell you the process, very simple process. Mark up somebody and have him be surprised and just have him do that. And he says, I'm feeling nervous now. And you just say, well, mark up somebody and have him be surprised. And next thing you know, why, he's got all of his clamps about surprise off and all of the surprise that was on more or less automatic in full re-stim, and he'll just flip-flop all over the place. All right, surprise is one of the methods by which energy could be damaged because he gets that associated with a blow, and he has all sorts of interesting mechanisms figured out. But we have to have these basic mechanisms first. One, that he can be damaged, and two, that he is energy. And if we've got those, we've got it all made. He can be damaged. They just say, I can suffer, and so forth. Christianity, for instance, went ashore on the rocks of this same thing. Although they were addressing the spirit rather broadly, they actually brought in this mechanism called hell. And there were seven hells originally, and these various hells were all places where thetans could be damaged. But they did this very interestingly. They said, your soul, which of course made the other operation, you were energy. You are energy, and you've got a soul, and you mustn't let it go to hell. Now, that's the score. Punishment was entered in, a damage. Now, that wasn't anywhere near as bad an operation, however, as this dialectic materialism psychology mess that we've inherited in our modern times. Science is going straight ahead on the rocks of man is energy, man is mass. They're being very, very thud about it. At least Christian practices and so forth had a V on it. They said you could be damaged and you will go to hellfire and you will burn forever and so forth. And they said your soul will go. They still had some spirit in it, so there must have been some recoveries of one kind or another. And I am more or less prone to believe some of the miracles which occurred in the early days of Christianity, in spite of the several Christian churches which now offer large prizes to anyone who can prove that any miracle ever occurred. They say these miracles were never possible. Well, it was founded on miracles. If you were just to convince somebody that he was a spirit, that he did not have a soul, but he was a spirit, just like that, and nothing else, you're liable to get a miracle. You're just liable to get one. Every few hundred people, all of a sudden, somebody'd walk suddenly or do something, you see. Why? He would slip all the way out of being energy, being damaged, being himself. You just slip him out through that lineup and you get a miracle. Rather easy thing to do. Sudden recoveries of sight would be the easiest miracles to actually perform in that wise, because the only thing that would blind the thetan would be energy masses, while he considered himself an energy mass. All right, therefore we have, as we look over this scene, we have control of the spirit as being the highest button of control or processing. Control of the spirit, which would be rather direct. And I think that we, without mumbo-jumbos and lots of vias, witch doctoring and all that sort of thing, I think that we have come to a point where we can come very close to doing this quite directly. We can control a spirit. Then the moment that he himself sees that he is controlled and that he is not energy and so on, and sees that he can receive control, communicate and respond to it, he certainly will pull out of the morass just and it should, as we get more and more practiced at it, happen fast. Tone 40 works well for some people and works rather poorly for some people. Well, it's all the direction that it is directed. It has a lot to do with the goal of the auditor and his understanding of what he is trying to do with that process. But we are probably the first, and this doesn't even include Buddhism, we're probably the first to overtly address this problem very directly and without superstition or mumbo-jumbo or the feeling that the gods or whales were going to come down and eat us up because we did something directly to a being, an individual, conceiving him at the same time to be what he is, which we call a thetan, and conceiving at the same time that he is not space or energy or mass and that he continues to exist along a time track. And the direct control of this is our direct goal. And when a person can be controlled, then he can control. And when he sees there is no two-way flow involved in it, he's got it made. Therefore, I think we're pretty much there, if I can articulate it to you as I have done this evening. Thank you.